Good evening, everybody. It's a pleasure to be with you and a pleasure to follow my colleague and Azrieli, co-faculty member, one of my colleagues at Azrieli. I'm going to share my screen as well. And what I want to talk about today, and although the title includes the word parenting, it really is appropriate for everyone, because what I want to address is the challenge of reassurance, finding it for ourselves and for our children and for our families, for our students, if we're educators. And in these pandemic days, are there perhaps some echoes or hints in the days of awe that can help us understand the process of providing reassurance? Let me see if I can get this. There we go. I'm Dr. Rona Novick. I am the Dean of the Azrieli Graduate School of Jewish Education and Administration at Yeshiva University. I'm also a clinical psychologist who does a lot of work with children and families, and I have a lot of background doing work with individuals during times of crisis. So when I was asked to present in this series, I was thinking about the year of Yom Tovs that we've had. I was thinking about how Pesach we dealt with our not only cleaning our homes, but with the disappointment that our plans to be with family for most of us were not possible. Any plans for travel didn't happen. And yet we had that sadness and that sense of loss at Pesach, but we also had this forward vision. We didn't know yet how long and how difficult this was going to be. And we thought, okay, we had Pesach, but Shavuos, by Shavuos we'll be with family and friends, and we'll be out and we'll have our tables, we'll be filled with friends and family. No, we counted the weeks to Shavuos and we counted the COVID numbers getting worse. And then we had the Yoms, Yom HaZikaron, Yom HaTzmud, Yom HaShoah, also in our homes, outside our shuls. Who would have thought, who would have predicted? And now we approach the Yomim Noraim. We approach not just Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, but also Sukkot, Shmini Atzeret, Simchat Torah, all of the Yom Tovim that we think about again as the start, the beginning of our holiday season. And for us and for our children, how do we approach a holiday that, like the two others we've had before, is going to be different than that which we hoped for and expected? Now, here's the challenge of reassurance. On the one hand, human beings can't live without it. If all we see is doom and gloom, if all we do is watch the news and we don't hear about there's a possibility of a vaccine, the numbers are better here, somebody found a solution, if all we hear is problems, we're crushed. Our human psyche becomes devastated. We need hope. The problem is, and by the way, reassurance comes naturally to adults who work with or raise children. From the time they're little infants, we rock them when they're crying, and we tell them, sweetheart, it's going to be okay. We kiss their boo-boos and make it better. And even as our children grow and age and go into their teenage years and even into adulthood, we want to reassure them the world is okay. You're going to do fine. It's going to be great. It's almost a parental reflex to make the world safe and okay for our children. But here we are approaching the holidays and still with enormous uncertainty. How can we be reassuring forces for ourselves, for the world, and for our children when there are things that we just cannot fix or solve? After 9/11, I was really struck by this. I was doing a lot of work in New York with first responders, and they would freeze when their children asked for reassurance. Firefighters and other first responders, ambulance, emergent EMS workers, their children would ask them a simple question. Daddy, you're coming home for dinner? Mommy, will you be here when I get home from school? And the parents froze. They felt uncomfortable giving reassurance because they knew, unfortunately, lo aleinu, they knew how many parents did not come home on 9/11 and 9/12 and 9/13. But despite the fact that parents had lost their words, children had no less need to be reassured. And I actually began thinking about the need for a children's picture book that would give parents the language of reassurance. I spent many years writing and perfecting the book and getting it rejected, by the way, my lesson in perseverance. And 2 years ago, Berman House Apples and Honey Press agreed to publish it. And in, you know, one of those stories that it's so odd, you can't make it up, that on April Fool's Day this year, in the midst of a global pandemic, Mommy, Can You Stop the Rain? Was published. And it really includes what we're going to talk about tonight, which are what are the core steps or ingredients in providing reassurance, and how do our tefillot of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, of the Yomei Noraim, how do these tefillot echo these steps of reassurance so that even as we approach the days of awe meaning fear and trembling and wonder and concern, that there are hints in the our tefillot of reassurance. Step one in providing reassurance is validation. Our child comes to us and says, I can't believe another Yom Tov without family. It's terrible. It's horrible. I'm not going to be able to live through another boring Yom Tov just looking at you, Mommy and Daddy, Abba and Ima, Tati and Mommy. What, and again, our direct instinct is to deny, denigrate, or minimize and say, no, it's not going to be such a big deal. It won't be hard. It'll be wonderful. It'll be lovely. Don't say that. Don't think that way. That's our parental reflex. That's, in a way, it's the same reflex when a friend comes to an adult and says, oh, I feel horrible. I look horrible. Again, our natural inclination is to say, no, you look great. Guess what happens, by the way, that when you do that to your friend? They say, oh, no, look at the wrinkles and look at all the pounds I've gained. And no, we force them into arguing with us. When we don't validate people, they need to guarantee that they've been heard by ramping up their argument. So if a child comes to us and says, this is miserable, I'm going to be miserable, this is, and children use the language of hyperbole, this is the worst Yom Tov ever, this is going to be the hardest ever, this is going to be the end of life as we know it, And we want to change the way they think about it, but we have to validate their feelings. Validation is not agreement. Agreement is saying, you're right. Oh my gosh, there's no way we're going to survive another Yom Tov. Just us together, our little family looking at each other. This is horrible. This is the end of the world. That's agreement. We don't want to do that. We don't want to wallow with them in their hyperbole of fear and anxiety and despair, but we do want to validate and say, yeah, I know it's disappointing, isn't it? I can see this is really not what you were hoping for. That's validation, and that shows that we've heard them. Where do we find validation in our tefillot from the days of awe? I think it's there. If we look at all of the statements throughout, particularly Yom Kippur, all of the statements through Yom Kippur, although there's one here that's in Rosh Hashanah, that refer to God as our, you know, God is the glassmaker, we are the glass. God is the, we are the ship, he is the captain of the ship. All of these statements that we say, that we acknowledge, we validate, we understand how small we are. In anu amecha ki anu pu'ulatecha v'ata yotzreinu. We're the handiwork of Hashem. We're the craft's result. We're the craft result. You're the craftsman. You are the controller here. It's echoed in the Kihine Kachomer with all of the allusions to God as being in charge of us. And so clearly, Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, before the Kedusha, we read the Utana Tokef. There is not, I don't think, a tefillah anywhere in Jewish liturgy that is more validating of the perils that the coming year can bring. There's no sugarcoating here. Who will die by fire and who by drowning? who in hunger and who in thirst, who will waste, who will perish, who will have economic hardship, one after the other, and often in a tearful voice, the Chazan lays out the validating statement of our fear, does not belittle our concern, doesn't say, nah, you're being judged, no big deal, what bad could happen? There are numerous examples throughout the Nusach of the Yom Tovim, of the Yomim Noraim, of this acknowledgement of the seriousness of our situation and the refusal to make us feel better immediately. And that is the first step, oddly enough, of being able to give us reassurance. But step two, it's not enough to tell children, we hear you, we understand, we know you're miserable. The next step is we have to offer constancy and presence. We have to say, you know what? You're right, it's miserable, but we're gonna get through this together. I'm gonna be here. I'm gonna be here with you and for you, no matter what. It's only with this statement that children's anxiety and concern about whatever it is they're facing can be damped down enough that we can begin to think about moving forward, and we'll get to that in a few moments. For younger children, very often this feeling that we're going to be with them needs to be quite concrete and physical. Young children, we hold their hand, we sit them in our laps, and we hug them and hold them to tell them whatever it is you have to deal with, we'll be with you. In one of my lives before coming to Yeshiva University, I was a psychologist, a clinical child psychologist at what is now Cohen's Children's Hospital, was then Schneider Children's Hospital. And one of my rotations, one of my jobs was to serve the emergency room. And so often we would have to say to parents as they would come in to the emergency room with their children perhaps needing common things, needing stitches, needing tests and procedures, needing a shot, needing things that would be painful. We would have to help parents to say, you can hold their hand, but only if you won't fall apart. Because what you need to communicate is that you'll be there and you'll be okay. If you're falling apart, it's not very reassuring. For older children, don't try to hold their hand or put them in your lap. They'll shoo you away. But they need verbal support. I'm calling it lip service, but it's more than lip service. They need our words and our actions to communicate that I understand that you are disappointed, and I understand, and I'm going to be with you. I'm going to work through this with you. I'm not going to leave you alone with your negative feelings. Where do we find evidence of this reassuring presence in our tefillot? Well, starting from Rosh Chodesh Elul, we've been davening the Psalm, the LeDavid, in all of our davenings. And in that, we say, Achat sha'alti mi'ed Hashem ota avakesh. One thing I'm going to ask of you, God, shifti ba'beit Hashem kol yimei chayai, that I should dwell in your house all my days, that I should be in your presence, that your presence should be part of my life. In the Rosh Hashanah Musaf, the Malchuyot, the Zichronot, and the Shofarot include psukim after psukim, pasuk after pasuk, that say, God was with us. He was with the Avot. He was with us, with B'nai Yisrael, at our times of great celebration and at our times of great need. We, from all of these piyutim and psukim and psalms and tehillim, we understand that we may stand in awe and we may stand in judgment, but we don't do it alone. We do it with Hashem's presence, very much a part of our communal historic lives and a part of our personal lives. And certainly every one of us strives in our davening on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur and all of the Yimei Tshuva, we strive to feel Hashem's presence through our tefillot. Step three of good reassurance, avoid promises or empty guarantees. Again, this is a parental reflex. It's not going to be very bad. Oh, you know what? You think Yom Tov's going to be boring? I bought 4 new puzzles, 3 new Lego sets, and I have a great new game we're going to play. It's going to be fantastic. The problem with me, and by the way, what if our child says, okay, I understand, Rosh Hashanah, we can't have family, but Sukkot, they'll come, right? Or, but Simchas Torah, we'll be dancing with the Torahs in the street, right? Just like we always do. And again, every parent wants to make their child's life free from pain and loss and sorrow. And so the natural reflex is to say, oh, of course, by Sukkot, by Simchat Torah, we'll be dancing with the Torah. Absolutely. Here's the problem. I don't know about any of you, but if this last 6 months have taught me nothing, they have taught me not to predict the future, and that there is great uncertainty in what will be. And I said to a colleague today, who would have thought in the year 2020 that I would be unable to travel to family? Not because of, thank God, not because of poverty, not because of health issues, but because it's usur, I'm not allowed. There are places I'm literally not allowed to go. We never want to be the adult that is untrustworthy. Imagine if we give a guarantee. Yes, you'll dance with the Torah on some kind. And dance with Torahs. Please, God, we should not have outbreaks. We should all be fine through these Yom Tovim. But maybe we can't. These are very unpredictable times. And we do not want ever to be an undependable parent, an unreliable adult. Because then when we say things that we need to be listened to, like, don't go in the street without looking both ways. Don't smoke cigarettes. I heard Dr. Schiffman talking about cigarette smoking, not that it's either of our flaws, but we plenty others, you know, don't eat too much chocolate. It's not good for you. It's my personal flaw. Then our children won't believe us. They'll say, she wasn't right about that. Why should I listen to her about walking in the street and looking both ways? Where do we find in our tefillot that this absence of guarantees? You look carefully through the machzor, and I challenge you to find platitudes, to find statements of, oh, don't worry, it's all going to be fine. Here's a guarantee. Just do X and Y will happen. There's no promises of favorable judgment. There are no guarantees, and the Etana Tokef is exactly the opposite. It tells us there are no guarantees. We know it's being somewhere, is being decided, is being discussed, is being considered, who will live and who will die, but we don't know. We have this concept that it's written and then it's sealed. There's a permanence here. There's a judgment that's happening that we know we have an impact on, but we don't get to write the final legal decision. We daven through the machzor hoping that our tefillot are heard and that they're well received, but we never get an answer. I tell this story all the time that when we went for the first time with our family to Eretz Yisrael, and we had built up our sons. The oldest was bar mitzvah. The youngest was about 8 years old. And we had built up going to the Kotel, and this being a place of enormous power of tefillot, that it's the closest we'll ever be to where Beit HaMikdash was, that we can daven to Hashem. And we live in a neighborhood that has mail slots in our doors. We don't have mailboxes. The mail comes through your door. So our 7-year-old son wrote his petek very, very seriously, wrote down his tefillot, went with his Abba to the Kotel, found a little place to stick in his petek, and turned to his Abba and immediately said, could we go around back now and see Hashem read it? That was his concept of tefillah, is that I write it and then Hashem reads it and it comes true. Our machzor is very clear that that is not the case. So what's the final step in offering reassurance? The final step is focusing not on all we've lost and not on what we can't have, but it's focusing on moving forward and on the future. We do that when we want to be reassuring, not in any way denying the negative reality, but with full acceptance of the uncertainty, the negativity, the loss, and the challenge. We do it with validation. We do it with knowledge that we'll be there no matter what, and that we do it with no simple, easy answers. But what we say to our children is, given that we are entering yet another Yom Tov in COVID. Yet another Yom Tov when we cannot fill our table with friends and families with abandon. Yet another Yom Tov when we can't hang out at the park every day and we can't do all the things that we normally would do on a Yom Tov, that we can't get on an airplane and travel to family that we normally spend Yom Tov with. Given all of that, and knowing that we're all disappointed and sad about it, what should we do to make this the best Rosh Hashanah that we can? And we have to ask our children and engage them in a conversation about what will we do, but also who will we be? This defines us. Will we be sad sacks that sit around moaning about the Rosh Hashanah that could have been? Or will we be engaged family members, Jews, daveners, and we will make a rich and amazing Rosh Hashanah, even in this unbelievable and just daunting and difficult to consider reality? The minute we start to focus children and ourselves on how will we handle it, what will we do, that in and of itself is reassuring. It says there will be a Rosh Hashanah. I know we all felt this way with Pesach as we, you know, scurried to find supplies and clean our homes, those of us who thought we would not be home. At some point, it kind of clicked that, oh, well, there will be a Pesach. It will happen no matter what. Even though it's not the Pesach I thought, it will happen. There will be a Seder. And it will be, please God, it will be meaningful. And the same is true of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. They will, please God, be meaningful Yom Tovim. But we have this statement of moving forward that comes to us at really, I think, one of the crescendos of the tefillot of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, the Utana Tokef, before Kedusha, after we read this whole list of the horrible things that can befall us and that will befall some, we are told, Utshuva, Utzedaka, Utfila. These are the things that change the decree, that impact the future. Again, no guarantee, no formula, no do three of these, two of these, one of these, and you're good. But they're a remez, they're a hint, they're a guidebook that tells us that the judgment is not finished. The jury is still out, and we have some impact on what happens next. I want to close with this amazing thought from Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sacks on Parshat Emor, writing about radical uncertainty. Because really what we're talking about when we talk about reassurance is in some cases, in some ways, engaging with our children and for ourselves in being faithful, in finding a way to have faith in ourselves and in the future. Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sacks says that faith is not just belief. It's the courage to live with uncertainty. It's the courage, the strength, to know that we don't know everything and that we don't know what the future holds. And it reminds us that, this is a quote from him, that the Torah does not pretend that life is easier than it is. And again, our machzor makes no pretense. Our tefillot make it clear. We're being judged. This is serious. This is important. We're validating your concerns. But our Torah and our liturgy, these are my words, and our rituals really provide us, ourselves and as parents, the tools to recognize and communicate that just as we are here for our children, so is God here with us, offering us during these Yemei Narayim and always endless opportunities for growth and for faith. And in these uncertain times and always, it's an incredibly reassuring thought. We have this Yom Kippur, but we also, please God, will have next one, and An Me'ev Esrim, the one after that, and the one after that, and the one after that. When I'm teaching, particularly adolescents who may be down on themselves for not being successful, or as machmir, as have not had tefillot, or their religious observance as meaningful as they would like, I say to them, I've never met a gadol hador or read about a sage in any phase of Jewish history that said, I don't need Yom Kippur, I'm good. I don't need to klap al chet and start over. We all need the redo button. And we all need the reassurance and the emunah that it's going to make a difference and then we're going to start again anew. Just the coming attractions, what we're going to deal with in the next two times. Next week, I want to share family and fun, ideas to enrich and engage for Yom Tov. And whether you have young children or whether your family is you and a spouse, I want to talk about how do we make for enriched holidays and engaged holidays for all of us, regardless of who we are blessed to have around our table and in our home. And in our third session, I want to look at the big ideas of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. I'll give you a hint, Tshuva is one of them. But I want to look at the big ideas and the teachable moments and themes from Yom Tov that we can, and I would argue we should, bring into our families and our lives, again, regardless of whether our children are 2 or 22. Thank you all so much for joining with us, and we'll see you all next week.